The first reading that comes from the prophet Isaiah is a very popular reading for funerals because it's a beautiful image. It's a beautiful image of God's mercy and love after death, that there will be, all of our needs will be taken care of, that there will be an abundance of food, that we will never have to be hungry again. All of, you know, we will never need to toil for what we need. There will be an end of pain, an end of sorrow, of suffering, of death. All of that will be wiped away in the kingdom of heaven. And so it's a beautiful image. Beautiful image for us to reflect on what heaven is like. That for those who are faithful to Him, we will have no worries, no concerns, just the joy and the peace of God. This image is continued in the wedding feast that our Lord describes in this parable. That this great feast has been prepared for us. This heavenly feast has been prepared for us. And the invitations have been put out. The invitations of the gospel have been sent out. We just have to accept it. But our Lord puts a twist on it. This invitation is there. The feast is ready. But not all who are invited will come. They will not enter. Some will ignore it. Some will go off and do their own thing. They'll put other things ahead of the heavenly wedding feast. Well, we have been invited. Those of us who have heard the gospel message, those of us who have been baptized, we have been invited to this heavenly banquet. And not just after death, it's not just something for when we pass through the veil of death, but now we have been invited to this heavenly banquet here and now. This heavenly banquet of Christ Himself. St. Paul says, "My God will fully supply whatever you need in accord with His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." We have been invited to participate in God's mercy and love now, in the glory of God here in this life. And we have to be able to say, as St. Paul said, "I can do all things in Him who strengthened me." We have to trust that God will provide that grace and mercy now. So the invitation is before us. How do we respond? How do we respond to that invitation? And in the parable, we can look at how those of the time of the king responded. Those in the parable. Some people ignored it. They ignored the invitation. They were given the invitation and they just kind of went, yeah, whatever, and went on with their lives. We can do that in our lives when we don't allow our faith to influence our daily lives. Yes, we come to Mass more Sundays than not for many Catholics, some Catholics even less than that. But once we walk out those doors, do we allow what we have heard here, what we've received here, to influence our daily lives, how we interact with others? Very often, and we see this throughout the world, Catholics who live no differently than anybody else, including those who do not believe at all. We live in a fairly secular time. You look at surveys and what people identify themselves as, and at best they have some kind of a belief, but nothing real firm. At worst, they have no belief. They have nothing. As a matter of fact, in surveys, they're called the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. In places like Montana, the number of people who identify that as that, having no belief, are going up. If we don't want to ignore this invitation from God, we need to live as if we truly do believe in what He teaches us, in that we have that invitation. Second, you know, we could respond like those who went away. You know, it said that some of them went to their cities, they went to their farms, they went off and worked, they went off and did things instead of coming to the feast. And we can do that very easily. We can allow other activities to come between us and God. So easy to do. So easy to get caught up in recreation or hobbies or sports or jobs or just what we want to do with our lives. You know, I'd much rather sleep in on Sunday morning than go to Mass. I'd much rather go to brunch than come to, you know, a noon Mass or whatever. Finding excuses. And we can do that in our lives as well, that we don't put our faith in God first and schedule around it. Instead, we try to fit God into our schedule. And here's a hint. If you try to fit God into your schedule, it's funny how God gets squeezed out of your schedule, is usually how it happens. The third way we could do it is we could be like the ones who attacked the messengers. You know, it talks about them stoning the messengers, literally killing the messengers. You wonder where that phrase comes from? Well, here's a good place. We can attack those who are calling us to the conversion of heart that we should. We can go after the messenger instead of recognizing the need to answer the call of a God, answer this invitation. Or most importantly, we can accept the invitation. We can hear the invitation from God, and we can look to Him to save us. That we can open our hearts to Him and enter into that wedding banquet. But of course, if we accept that invitation, the parable does tell us we need to be prepared for that invitation. We need to be prepared to enter into the wedding banquet. You know, we see this, you know, all these people have been rounded up off the streets, and you got the one guy who's not sitting there in a suit. He's not sitting there in his wedding garment, it says. Now, this isn't our Lord saying that you have to get dressed up for Mass, although that's not a bad idea. There is argument that how we prepare for Mass is very much a kind of shows outwardly how we are prepared inside for Mass. Again, I'm not saying that men need to be in three-piece suits and, you know, women need to be in, you know, beautiful dresses and things like that. As great as it is when people do dress up for Mass, it's more the spiritual preparation that we need. That is what our Lord is talking about, that we need to be spiritually prepared to enter into the heavenly banquet. So how do we do it? Well, this actually is a big part of the message of Our Lady's apparition at Fatima, is how we prepare spiritually. And she points out to these three children that she appeared to three elements. The first one, of course, is prayer. You know, I don't know how many of you had ever heard this, but, you know, when I was a kid, the joke was for religious education, the answer was always Jesus. Didn't matter what question the teacher asked, the answer was always Jesus. Of course, that's not the case, but when dealing with the spiritual life, the answer is always prayer. That one you can take to the bank. If you want to grow your spiritual life, pray. If you want to be prepared for the spiritual banquet, pray. Prayer is always the first. And especially, as Our Lady told the children in Fatima, the rosary. You know, when Fatima occurred, it was right on the eve of World War I. And she told the children to pray the rosary for peace. Pray the rosary for peace in the world. Pray it daily for peace in the world. How appropriate that is today. We live in a world where it seems like every time we turn around, there's more war, more violence, more hatred, more strife. We need to pray the rosary for peace in our world today. Peace in Eastern Europe with the Ukraine. Peace in the Holy Land between Israel and Palestine. In fact, there's an insert in the bulletin from the Patriarch of Jerusalem, who has asked that on Tuesday, we do prayer and fasting for peace in the Holy Land. What a great way to do it. Pray the rosary for peace. Sister Lucia, one of the visionaries, the one who lived into her old age, the other two died at a young age, said, "There is no problem, I tell you, no matter how difficult, that we cannot solve by the prayer of the Holy Rosary." So pray the rosary. So prayer is the first. The second element is repentance from sin. As part of the Fatima visions, Our Lady showed the children an image of hell. Think about that. These are children. And they weren't teenagers, you know, high school age. They were much younger. And she showed them a vision of hell. Yes, it exists. And as she said, that the souls were falling into hell like snowflakes. That should terrify us. We don't want to be part of that group. So we need to repent from our sins, seek forgiveness through the sacrament of confession as often as we can, as often as we need it. And then third of all, reparation for sins, doing works, doing acts of penance, sacrifices for the sins of the world. You know, that's why I love the Divine Mercy chaplet, because it talks about that we pray for ourselves and those of the whole, for our sins and the sins of the whole world. For ourselves and for the whole world. We do these acts of sacrifice, not just for the sins we have committed, but for the sins of the world, the sins that lead to the violence and the strife and the hatred that we see, the division that we see in our world. Our Lady told them that if the world takes her message seriously, there will be peace in the world. So we need to take her message seriously to pray for peace in the world. And that is how we will be prepared then for the heavenly banquet. Prayer, repentance, and reparation for sins. Those three things will be our wedding garment that will bring us into the banquet. So may we truly show up to that heavenly banquet ready, prepared, so that we might be entered, but also so that the whole world might be saved.